Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. One of the things that I've heard my dad say to me, if he's not said it once, he's said it 1,000 times. He would say to me, "Son, your attitude stinks." If I've heard that once, I've heard 1,000 times. And generally, in my growing up, my dad very seldom ever addressed what it was I did. He addressed why it was I did it. He always wanted to deal with the root of the problem, not just with the problem. And this morning, I want to talk to us about attitudes. It's real popular in our day and age, the slogan, "Attitude is everything." But truthfully, attitude is everything. And there are generally three attitudes towards life, and we're going to take a look at those this morning. We're going to read from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 30, and I'm reading out of the Living Bible. Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him lying dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. A Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but then went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him till they came to an inn, where he nursed him through the night. The next day he handed the innkeeper $2 $20 bills and told him to take care of the man. "If his bill runs higher than that," he said, "I'll pay the difference the next time I'm here." Verse 36. "Now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the bandit's victim?" The man replied, "The one who showed him some pity." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." There are basically three attitudes that people have towards life. Attitude number one is this. It is the attitude of the robbers and the thieves. Their attitude was this: "What's thine is mine if I can get it from you." What's thine is mine if I can get it from you. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world system works this way. What you got, if I need it, I want it. And if I can get it from you, I will take it. There are a lot more people with this attitude towards life than what we are willing to admit to. Jesus said that there's a lot of people this way. In John chapter 10, verse 8, he said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Everybody is looking to see, not everybody, but most everybody, is looking to see what we can get away with. We think to ourselves that it's a "oh, woe's poor is me" sort of thing. And that if I can get something for nothing, then I deserve that. I actually heard someone bragging this week that they had gone to a gas station, purchased gas, gave the cashier a $50 bill. The cashier gave them change for $100. And they left with the money. And then went out and bragged about it. "Hey, guess what happened to me? Thieves and robbers." "Well, it's a big gas company. You know, That's exactly, well, and I said to this person, excuse me for interrupting, but do you understand that the cashier is the one who lost, not the gas company? And you know what they said? I don't care. Doesn't bother me. No, they didn't say this, but this is the attitude. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't affect me. Not taking out my check. Now, we're sitting here looking horrified because basically we're a room full of people without that attitude. But I want you to know we live in a world full of people with that attitude. We work in a world full of people with that attitude. Most of the people we all work for have that attitude. That the bottom line, the end, justifies the means. What is a robber? A robber is depriving another openly and with violence. I mean, how many times during the week do we hear about people being attacked in a parking lot or in a store? People being kidnapped. My mom and dad have some friends named Max and Jean Talbert. Some of you may have met them. Max was a truck driver. Would be gone for several days at a time. And one time Jean was out shopping and she locked her keys in her car. And Max was out of town. And she was standing there trying to figure out how she was going to get the keys out of her car. Who to call, couldn't come up with any solutions and started to cry. There was a man going by. This is a true story now. This man coming by says, "Ma'am, are you all right?" She says, "Well, I locked my keys in my car. My husband's out of town and I don't have any way to get my car open. I don't know what I'm going to do." And he goes, "Oh, don't worry about that, ma'am." Reaches in his pocket and pulls out a little tool. Walks up to her car, sticks it in there, jiggles around a little bit. Car comes unlocked. She goes, "Well, thank you, sir. Do I owe you anything?" And his answer, this is the honest to God truth. His answer to her was, "No, ma'am, I break into cars for a living." I mean, every year, the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah. I mean, at least he had a little heart towards her. I guess he just wanted to rob people who didn't have to look at. But every year, the day after Thanksgiving, they start telling you, you know, put your packages in the trunk. Because there are people whose attitude is, what's mine, what's thine is mine, if I can get it away from you. I was washing my van one time down in Savannah, Georgia. And a car with about four or five guys stopped at the bay in which I was washing the van. And one of them got out and walked right inside the bay and said something to me. And I didn't understand what he said. And I stopped spraying and said, "Excuse me." And he said to me, "Give me your wallet." And I heard that one and I said, "Excuse me." Because I was just like, I can't believe this. You know? And then he set off a set of exclamatives to help me break through the fog. And said, "I told you to give me your wallet." And I said, "No." And pointed the wand and pulled the trigger. He took off running out and I chased him as far as that wire, that cord would go. But you know, we sit here as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and we think to ourselves, it's unbelievable because we would never do that. But it is believable. It happens all the time. We have a new term. It's called home invasion. It's a step above being broke into. Because there are people whose attitude towards life is, what's thine is mine if I can get it from you. Thieves. To steal by fraud and in secret. I mean, Here's this woman who comes on TV, an attractive lady for her age. Seems to be sweet enough. Advertising for Kmart. But her name's been in the paper this week, because, and it ain't got nothing to do with Kmart. It has to do with Congress wanting to know a thing or two about insider trading. Why she sold several thousands of dollars in stock the day before this particular drug company was about to get some bad news from the Federal Drug Administration. Not that she walked in and with violence did anything, and I'm not saying she did or she didn't. But what I am saying is there's a whole lot of this attitude displayed by people who don't do it with violence, who don't do it openly. So instead of being a robber, what they are is a thief. They take it when you're not looking. And they would prefer it. Unlike this other person I was talking about earlier, they don't go out and brag about it. They don't go out and brag about it. They just do it and hope nobody finds out. What's thine is mine, if I can get it from you. But here's the real point I want to make, ladies and gentlemen. People can be robbed of a lot more than money. We need to be careful that this attitude does not display itself to us where we either rob or steal other people's joy, peace, influence, reputation. And although we might not shoplift out of the grocery store or from the Home Depot, or we might not pull a gun and tell somebody, you know, one of my favorite jokes is a guy pulled a gun on me. This is not true. One of my favorite stories is a guy pulled a gun on me one time, said, "Your money or your life?" I said, "I have no money and no life. You choose." I just think that's funny. We might not ever be willing to do that. But if we talk about people behind their back and ruin their reputation, we've robbed them of something. If we endeavor to promote ourselves, we rob people of influence. Attitude number two is the priest and the Levite. Their attitude was this: what's mine's thine, I'm going to keep it. What's mine is mine. Boy, this thing works backwards, and when you got dyslexia, it is really tough. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was real hard on this attitude. And don't turn there, but in Luke 16, 19 through 31, for those of you who want to take, yeah, it's on your notes there. Luke 16, 19, 31, Jesus tells a story about a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus, and how the rich man would not even feed the crumbs from off of his table to the poor man. But do turn with me to chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 22. Now a man came up to Jesus, I'm reading out of the NIV. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 20, "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Verse 22. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. We call this the story of the rich young ruler. Now, one of the things I want you to understand is this. If you take this individual and fast forward him 2,000 years into the day and age in which we live, this is a young man who has three things going for him. He is rich, he is young, and he has authority. Now, is that not what 98 or maybe 100% of the people in the world today are looking for, is those three things? I want to be younger than I am. I want to be richer than I am. And I want to be in charge. This man had it all. And I find it very interesting that when he looked at Jesus and he said, all these things I've done since my youth up, Jesus did not look at him and go, you liar. I find that very interesting. Now, and I'll tell you why. Because when the religious types of Jesus' day came to him with their deception, he confronted that deception straight on. Oh, you think you're giving away life, but I tell you, you're a tomb with whitewash on top of it and full of dead men's bones. Jesus did not confront this young man, and I believe the reason he didn't, this is speculation on my part, you can take it or leave it, I believe the reason he didn't was because the young man told him the truth. That he had obeyed all those things from his youth up. He lived a good life, he was still young, had money, and had a position of authority, and was still empty. There's our point. He was still empty. Because he had a bad attitude about life. And his attitude was this, what's mine is mine, and I plan to hold on to every bit of it. I referred to someone this week as the kind of person who, when they squeeze the buffalo on the nickel, the buffalo cries. And there's not a one of us in this room who doesn't know people who are like that. Still got the first dollar they ever earned. And poor mouth all the time. Hello. All of a sudden the faces changed, Ray, and looks like we're not quite as interested anymore. Maybe this one's reaching a little closer to home. Charlie Blanton was talking this morning in the elders' prayer meeting about God brings us to a place in our lives where the things that we think of as being really special and important, He challenges us to get rid of them. Charlie said he used to have an expression that said, I'll loan you my wife, but not my golf clubs. So what does that set him up for? Somebody to want to borrow them golf clubs. I remember one time, years ago, I was praying. And I thought things were going really good. I just yakking to God as hard as I can go. And he said, hey, can I get a word in edgewise? I said, sure. Come, we have a great conversation. He said, you know, you sure are selfish. My first reaction was, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He said, this is what I want you to do. He called off three people's names and three things that I owned and said, I want you to give this to this one and this to this one, this to this one. And I said, are you crazy? He said, see, I told you, you're selfish. Now, I'd like to tell you, I jumped up from that prayer and said, I'll do it, God. I did not. Because none of the three of these people deserved the things that I had. Not a one of them. But you know, even that argument fell on deaf ears when I tried to bring it up. Because he had already spoken. It was a done deal. Now it was up to me. You can obey, or you can disobey. What you going to do? And I wrestled with it. But I finally broke down and got it done. And in the end, you know, that's all that really matters, is that we do obey. We all have these things that we treasure, that we don't want to let up and let go. You want to say something? Or are you just agreeing?
No, I think it is less about possession and more about authority.
That is true too. That is true too.
But be in charge of what's mine.
Right. And I've worked hard. I deserve this. See? No, that's exactly right. No, that's true. When whatever it is that we treasure more than obeying God, that then becomes God to us. I remember one time, a long time ago, being told this little statement. A self-made man worships his own creator. A self-made man worships his own creator. The attitude we've got to get to is this. I am the creation. He is the creator. Third attitude is that of the Samaritan. The attitude of the Samaritan, which is, what's mine is thine, O Lord, do with it as you will. What's mine is thine, O Lord, do with it as you will. The Samaritan gave up some things to help this Jew who had fallen on the thieves and robbers, some things that you and I might be challenged with. Number one, the Samaritan gave up his time. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I got a lot of time. I mean, I got 24 hours and I've got 7 days. But I've got an awful lot of things I feel like have to be done in that 24 hours and in that 7 days. And this is an area that God's working with me in my life about, because I don't like for my time to be interrupted. Because I've got a lot of things to do. And I just thank the good Lord for my wife, who sometimes has to come along and say, "Now, Don, you know, let's just think this thing through a minute." Because how many of you know that this is my mother's word, okay? So if you don't recognize the word, you have to talk to her about it. But how many of you know that there are times when you get in a tizzy, and when you're in that tizzy, your thinking's not just quite as straight as it ought to be? But my wife's the one that comes along and blows air into that thing and says, "Now, let's just stop and think about this for just a moment." He gave up money. Now, boy, there's something else I don't feel like I got a lot of. But I'll tell you something that I have done to really protect myself. Whenever someone asks me if they can borrow some money, and my children do it all the time, I don't ever loan my children any money. I only give, like if my son comes to me and says, "Dad, will you loan me $20? I say, "No. I'll give you $20. If I've got it, you can have it. And if you bring it back, great. And if you don't, you're released from the debt." Because you see, I don't want the devil playing with my head going, "You remember when he borrowed $20 and didn't bring it back?" So whenever I'm asked for anything at all like that, if I can afford to give it away, I just give it. But I'll never loan it. That way, if it never comes back, I'd given it away anyway. Takes away the enemy's fuel. The Samaritan gave away his word. He said to the innkeeper, hey, if this debt runs up more than what I've left you here, I'll be back. I'll take care of it. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my big frustrations with believers who, and I especially see this more prevalent in churches where they talk about the Word and they try to hold God responsible to His Word, those people have a tendency to be not responsible for theirs. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I say this to my children all the time. Say what you mean, and mean exactly what you say. Do you know that one of the reasons why my grandchildren listen to me so well is because I've never lied to them? Never, not once have I lied to my grandchildren. If I said to them, the next time you do that, I'm going to tear your hind end up, they didn't have to wonder, did that mean the next time or the next time or the next time or the next time? They know that the next time, that's the end of the subject. It gets tore, slam up. And you know what happens as a result of that? When I tell them that, that's it. Or, it happens. Dylan was out in the yard the other day not listening to his mama. I said to him, son, when your mama speaks, you better behave. And you do what she told you to do, or Dee Dee will take care of it. Gone. In a flash. Well, that sounds mighty cruel. Yeah, you know, it is so cruel that when he comes to our house, whichever one of us he sees first, he's still running up with him arms just like this. Because although it may sound cruel, you know what? On the inside, he knows I can be trusted. That there's an integrity in my word when I speak to him. My children know the same thing. That's one of the reasons why they're real careful about what we talk about. Because they know that when Daddy commits himself verbally, I'm committed. To hell and back. What's mine is thine, O Lord. When I make a commitment with my word, then we need to be committed to our word. The Samaritan gave away compassion. Time, compassion, his word, money. I don't know about you all. I'm not the most compassionate person in the world. I mean, if you're sick, you need to call somebody else. In fact, if you're sick, you need to call Michelle. Don't call me. I will pray with you. You know? And I understand. But compassion is just not one of my strong suits, is it, baby? Just not one of my strong suits. And I work on it, and I try to be compassionate with others. But I have very little compassion with myself, and very little compassion with much anybody else. Is that honest enough? But you know, the compassion with which we have freely received, God wants us to freely give away. And that's one of the things the Samaritan did. Have we died to self? Well, in order to answer that question, we need to ask ourselves two questions. Question number one is, what makes me mad? What makes me mad? You see, the things that anger us, that's the things we really treasure. Let me get back to my illustration about giving one of the children $20. If I get mad because my $20 doesn't come back to me, I care more about the $20 than I do about the child. No, I don't. I just think they need to be responsible. Yes, they do need to be responsible. But I am not to react to their irresponsibility. I'm to be the adult. I can only be responsible for how I react to their irresponsibility. I can't be responsible for how they respond. I was listening to Dr. Laura on the radio a couple weeks ago, and somebody called in and they said, when my husband and I got married, my roommate that I was in college with came to the wedding. showed up late, left early, didn't really speak to me or my husband, and didn't bring us any gift. She's now getting married, sent us an invitation, and I want to know, do I have to go? And do I have to take a gift? And before Dr. Laura could ever respond, I already knew what she was going to say. And the answer is this. You be who you are in spite of what other people are. Don't lower yourselves down to their level. And if you are the kind of person who goes to weddings, takes gifts, speaks to the bride and groom, and acts appropriately, then you be you. That's what I want to say to us as believers. You be you. We don't need to allow ourselves to be pulled down, to respond in kind, but to respond with being kind. Granted, I will admit that it's a whole lot easier to make excuses. Well, I wouldn't have said what I said to Pam if Pam hadn't have been ugly to me first. That is the really easy way to live. You know, that's the easy way. Not the way that we're called to. Second question. In order to know if we've died to self, am I unwilling to give up? Is there something that I am unwilling? What am I unwilling to give up for the cause of the gospel? You know, I told you that a week ago Saturday I came to Charlotte and I made application with Lance for a route sales job. On the application there was this question, are you willing to move out of state? I checked, no. And while I was being interviewed, the man on the other side of the table said, you wouldn't be willing to relocate? And I said to him, I have two grandchildren. I thought that was a good enough answer. I have two grandchildren. I am not willing to relocate. But do you know that if Jesus said, pack up all you got, pack up nothing, and move to California, I'd scream, I'd holler, I'd have to wrestle my wife. But at some point, I'd be there. Because in the end, we got to do what we've been told to do. I'd be willing to give up my house that I love and work real hard at. The children, the grandchildren. But there are things in my life that I hold on to real tight. And Jesus, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I mean, you know, I know that there's a lot of preachers who will tell you that this amount of honesty is not good, but I think it is good. Because I am not sharing this message with you this morning because my attitude towards life is perfect. I'm sharing it with you because I understand what perfect is, and we are all moving hopefully together to get there. And there are things that the Lord and I struggle over, and that I'm not willing or want to give up. And I don't know that I'll be totally in that area until the day I see him face to face. But I'll tell you this, there's a whole lot fewer things today than there was 10 years ago. And I pray that in the next 10 years there'll be even a smaller list. Because our salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is worked out with fear and with trembling. You know, there are habits that some of us may have that's really detrimental to our witness. If the Lord asked you for that habit, would you be willing to let Him have it? There are attitudes that all of us have that is detrimental to our witness as believers? Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work on those attitudes? We need to grasp firmly the verse that says the steps of a godly man. They are ordered of the Lord. We need to grasp firmly onto that verse so that we understand that if I'm riding home from church today, and God forbid, okay? If I'm riding home from church today and I'm involved in an accident and it totals my car, I don't have the money to go out this afternoon and buy myself another car. But if it happens, I need to God forbid, but should it happen, I need to understand that the steps of the godly are ordered of the Lord. He's got another plan. I just happen to be the one who's uninformed. Now, I want us to be real careful in closing here. I'm not talking about que sera sera, that whatever will be, will be. Oh, I don't care. Oh, I don't care. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. That's not beneficial to the kingdom either. I do care. But am I willing to hang in there long enough with the King to see His kingdom come in the middle of every situation? What is my attitude towards life? I pray and I pray that I can honestly say, Lord, everything I have is Yours. Everything I have is Yours. My wife, my children, my $15.53 in the bank, my life, my health, my emotional stability or lack thereof. It's all Yours. I'm going to protect it and keep it and maintain it. But if You choose to take it, it's all Yours. I discovered very early in life that there's a lot of money in the world. And when I was in my late teens, I had purposed in my heart that by the time I was 50 years old, I was going to be a millionaire, I was going to be retired, and I was going to be on a white sandy beach soaking up the sun. Well, I ain't far from 50, but I'm a long ways from that million. I was young, I wanted to be rich, and I wanted to be in control. And God said, no, what you want is peace in your heart, and those three things won't give it to you. And I'll trade that white beach and that $1 million. The world can keep it. I'll take the peace that the Holy Spirit puts in my heart. The kingdom of God is upon the earth. And I just want more of the kingdom. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do indeed pray that Your kingdom come and that Your will would be done. Lord, we pray for souls that are lost and dying without Jesus. We pray for those who sit and plan and scheme their robbing and their stealing. And we ask You, O God, to move by the power of Your Holy Spirit to show them that real happiness and joy is not found in violating others, but is found in knowing You. God, please bring the lost to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who meets our every need and meets their every need according to His riches and glory. Father, for those whose grip is so tight around the things of this world, Father, do indeed bring to our nation the understanding that it's a lie that those who die with the most toys wins. Because we can have all the toys in the world, but if we die without Jesus, we're lost. But Father, begin even in me and in this room for us to declare that what is mine is Thine, O Lord. Do with it as You will. And we can say that with all confidence because You're a God who is trustworthy. You're a God who's touched with our infirmities, understands our weaknesses, and protects His own. And we bless You and thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. You have a great week.